from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin in Oroville and San Francisco and about a half dozen other locations where congressional town halls were held yesterday. This year, a lot of focus at these town halls has been on Republicans as constituents have been giving them an earful across the state and the country. But Democrats are getting a ton of heat, too, including Senator Dianne Feinstein. She faced down hecklers and protesters at a town hall meeting in San Francisco on Monday. At one point, Feinstein lectured an audience member who tried to talk over her.
If anything needs to get voted on, you need the vote. So you can sit here and pound your fists, and I can show you what I've gotten done, and you can take a look at it, and I'd be surprised if you found too many senators, if any, that have gotten more done.
Although she's yet to make a formal announcement, Feinstein, who turns 84 in June, seems to be running for another six-year term. While many in the crowd expressed support for her seeking election, Maisa Robinson said she was disappointed in Feinstein's answers.
I've voted for Dianne Feinstein every time, you know, since I was able to. I think that the retired Feinstein signs are a little harsh, but I truly am wondering if we need somebody that is more in step with the concerns that we as California voters and citizens of the United States have. Fired up and ready to go and to take on the establishment and to be vocal and to be loud and be out there and be proud.
The senator is holding another town hall meeting in Los Angeles on Thursday. Meanwhile, in Oroville, about 500 people came out for a town hall meeting held by Republican Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Oroville resident Mike Capella told the congressman he was angry with Republican attempts to repeal Obamacare.
This is not in the best interest of any of the people in your district. Find another way to pay for your tax cuts for the rich.
The crowd got so rowdy at one point that LaMalfa had to leave the stage. When he returned after 15 seconds, the same crowd was still there.
One-third of U.S. counties, and this is especially... You know, people, self-control. A little self-control.
That sound comes to us from Mark Albert of North State Public Radio. Central Valley Republican Jeff Denham picked a bigger venue because he was expecting a large turnout. And boy, oh boy, did he get one. More from Central Valley reporter Vanessa Roncagno.
People started lining up 2 hours before the event, even though it was threatening to rain. Over 800 people showed up, and things got tense before Denham even took the stage. I found Joseph Gillum of Modesto at the table where people filled out their questions for the congressman.
Can you guarantee me that these questions are not being screened?
Gillum's question had to do with Trump's tax returns, and he was doubtful a hardball like that would get any play.
So yes or no?
It doesn't matter if they're easy
or no.
To
so it's no.
That's pretty much how the rest of the night went. Some people took the opportunity to argue with strangers while they waited for the Q&A to start.
You do know that the majority of illegal immigrants coming in here are not criminals.
If there's one too many.
People came wearing pink pussy hats and Make America Great Again caps.
Will you say right now that you believe that humans are causing climate change? So yes or no? Do you believe it?
Yes or no?
Yes
or no?
Yes, so again... I would love to answer every question tonight, and I just have to be respectful. It's like church.
Respectful. The word came out of Denham's mouth more than any other last night, but it only seemed to goad the mostly liberal crowd. It was too much for Aaron McCarthy Hewitt.
The people in there don't want to listen to Jeff Denham. They don't want to listen to people like my husband and I that have conservative views and ideas.
For more than 2 hours, people asked questions about local roads, high-speed rail, and healthcare affordability. Questions, but not a lot of answers. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Rancagno in Denair.
We're going to revisit a story we told you about yesterday about the workplace dangers faced by many of the private contractors who help California battle wildfires year after year. That report centered on a 35-year-old bulldozer operator who was killed in the Monterey County Sobranos fire when the massive machine he was operating tipped over. Well, yesterday we learned that Monterey County prosecutors have filed 7 criminal charges against the company that the man worked for. KQED's Ted Goldberg reports.
Robert Reagan was employed by Serban Concrete Construction last July when his bulldozer tipped over near Big Sur and crushed him. State workplace regulators and the contractor's state license board learned that Ian Serban, who runs the firm, did not have workers' compensation insurance. Ed Hazel, a deputy district attorney in Monterey County, says that prompted scrutiny from his office.
They let us know that Mr. Serban potentially did not have workers' compensation insurance. And so during the course of that investigation is how we came across the insurance fraud and the tax evasion charges.
Serban's lawyer has not returned calls for comment. He has argued that it was Cal Fire, not his client's company, that was Reagan's employer. For the California Report, I'm Ted Goldberg.
Moving on now. The other day, KQED's Guy Marzorati told me that a plan to redo a playground in Missouri could change a key part of California's constitution. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, it has to do with a case that's before the U.S. Supreme Court this week. And so we did what any grown adults would do in the middle of the workday if given the chance. We headed over to the playground, a block away from our San Francisco office.
Well, as it relates to this Supreme Court case, it kind of starts with the surface that we're standing on right here.
It's like a rubber mat, definitely not the blacktop I grew up with.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, nice soft landing for some kids. So in Missouri, if you're a nonprofit, you can apply to the state government and say, look, I have a hardtop playground, a concrete playground. You know, I would like some money to renovate my playground, put in one of these nice soft padded landings. So in this case, Trinity Lutheran, a church in Missouri, a few years ago applied for the funding. And the state said, look, you qualify, but we have to reject you. And the reason is Missouri, just like here in California, has a part of their state constitution that says the state can't give money to religiously affiliated schools. And so this case has been brought to the federal court. Missouri won against the church, and now it's at the U.S. Supreme Court. Basically, these laws have been on the books for a long time, and California goes back to the 1870s. And there's definitely a hint of anti-Catholicism in these laws in the 19th century. But throughout California's history, the courts have protected this law and blocked the state from giving money to other kinds of private schools like Stanford Med School. And the reason kind of the argument is, once the state starts giving money to these private schools, to these religious schools, it's a lot harder to track exactly what the money is going towards. So I talked to Daniel Mack. He's with the ACLU. They're supporting Missouri in this case. Here's how he kind of laid out the argument.
The reason why the state has the ability to make this choice is it can decide that it does not want to bump up against the line. It doesn't want to entangle itself in decisions about how churches use their money, whether or not that money is going to core religious activities, whether it will ever be spent on indoctrination, prayer instruction, or the like. The state can make the call that it doesn't want to get involved.
And we should be clear that the reason we're talking about the Missouri challenge to this federal court ruling is because it could have a big impact here in California now that there is a full Supreme Court.
That's kind of the argument that was laid out by Miriam Hubbard. She's with the Pacific Legal Foundation in Sacramento. They filed an amicus brief with the Lutheran Church, and here's how she put it.
It is burdensome on allowing parents to choose how they want their children educated. Generally, a lot of parents like the Catholic schools, so they like sending their children to a religious school. Without the Blaine Amendment, that would be possible, but now it's not.
And so, you know, with a 5-4 majority, with Neil Gorsuch on the court, it's possible that the justices go so far as to strike down these Blaine Amendments. Certainly in the past, Judge Clarence Thomas, a conservative justice, has hinted that he thinks because of that kind of anti-Catholicism background of these Blaine Amendments, these are unconstitutional.
Guy Marzorati of KQED's Politics and Government Desk. Guy, thanks very much. But before I let you go, I am willing to bet I could swing higher than you.
I was thinking we hit the seesaw first, but, you know,
let's go. Let's hit it.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, data protection, and application delivery solutions for physical networks and public cloud services. Learn more at barracuda.com/products. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Okay, so while we were on the playground, we ran into these kids, and we're going to let them close out the show. Take it, kids.
That's the California report.
And we got this. Take it.